Opens in Russia on Friday, representing for Vladimir Putin a landmark in his reign. Unpopular among Western political leaders who'd see him as an authoritarian in the Soviet mould, last year saw him wrong-footing them over Syria and Edward Snowden whilst winning plaudits from other Western quarters unexpectedly, like the London Times and Time magazine. But it's not all plain sailing back home, where rampant economic growth under Putin has been stalling. Journalist Dermot Fleming has been to Moscow to see how Russia's strongman is viewed by journalists there, both home and abroad.
It is a great honor for me to address you today and to present the bid of Sochi to host the Olympic Winter Games in 2014.
The Winter Olympics in Sochi will be for Vladimir Putin the peak of his time and power so far, in his quest to bring Russia back to the global influence it last enjoyed in Soviet days. The theme music for Russia's most popular TV interview show, hosted by its biggest name in journalism, Vladimir Posner, whose fame gives him rare freedom to criticize the leadership on state television. Posner says that despite a stalling economy, Putin still enjoys high ratings, but is not as popular as he was.
His popularity is still very high. It's somewhere around 65-70%, which is quite high for any leader of a country. However, the general feeling is that his standing is not what it used to be. A lot of people see him as being authoritarian, accuse him of rolling back the development of democracy in this country, and of supporting much too strongly the Russian Orthodox Church.
The jailing of three of the punk protest group Pussy Riot for a stunt in Russia's top cathedral underlined Putin's closeness to the resurgent Orthodox Church, but brought widespread Western criticism. Being unpopular in the West and a strongman is in Russia, however, central to Putin's political ratings, says Posner.
Although it's not a superpower, he has brought the country back together when it was falling apart. He's done it in an authoritarian way, but let's just remember, that's what the Russians are used to. They're not used to any other way. The Russians have had very little experience with what you call in the West democracy, but they like someone who can stand up and be tough. The fact that the West doesn't like Putin is a plus. That's something that most people in the West don't really understand.
Musical virtuosos educated in Soviet times busk today to make ends meet on freezing Moscow streets. As we walk nearby, the view that Putin is bringing Russia back to USSR days gets another leading Russian journalist rather hot under the collar, despite the sub-zero temperatures. Dmitry Babich of state-funded Voice of Russia Radio says Putin's economic policy is instead moving to the right and imitates the West. He's critical of the people Putin's put in charge.
He appointed to all the important positions the so-called liberal reformers. A lot of them personal aides to Yegor Gaidar, you know, that former prime minister of Russia, who is deeply unpopular in the population, who is associated still with these radical reforms of the 90s. So when I read in the Western press that Putin appointed his cronies and their return in Russia to the Soviet Union, that's completely false. He appointed the people who imitate all things Western.
Слышим друг друга, понимаем аргументы.
Russia's standing as an international power broker came in from the cold in the past year, checkmating the West over bombing Syria and the American spy agency fugitive Edward Snowden. Putin won international plaudits not from Western governments but from media, becoming the London Times' top international figure of 2013 and losing out to Snowden for Time magazine's Person of the Year. Vladimir Posner says Putin can thank the West in more ways than one.
Well, I think he would have to thank the stupidity of some of the people he's dealing with in the West. The Snowden affair, just to give you one example. I mean, at the beginning, Putin said, we don't want him, we don't want him. He's not with us, he's not our man. And if the United States had acted differently, instead of threatening the man with life imprisonment and God knows what else, perhaps things would have been different and Snowden would not have stayed in Russia.
Intense Western criticism of Russia's stance in Syria and support for the Assad leadership is not understood in Moscow, says Dmitry Babich.
Indeed, there are certain very strange things going on in the West which are hard for us to explain. The West is damaging its own interests. In Syria, okay, Mr. Assad was not a great Democrat, but certainly the jihadists, especially the group connected to Al-Qaeda who are fighting him, they are much worse for the West.
Unrest, which some say could turn to outright revolution, is closer to home in Ukraine, sparked after Russia and the European Union faced off over closer ties with Kiev. Huge protests driven too by public anger over political corruption. Former Irish Times Moscow correspondent Seamus Martin has spent long periods in Ukraine. He says Moscow's stance is not a Putin power grab, but is driven by economics and Russian ties to the country's divided population.
The main interest is trade. I don't think that Russia would consider taking over the entire country of Ukraine because they know that they won't be able to do that. The real problem is the division in Ukraine. The people in the West don't want to have anything to do with Russia whatsoever, whereas the people in eastern Ukraine, the Russian-speaking Ukrainians and the ethnic Russians in Crimea, they are wary of the West and look towards Russia.
Saturday night in Moscow, and while the economy and new middle class have boomed under Putin, the country still ranked as one of the most corrupt in the world. It's something Putin's vowed to fight, but with limited success so far. It's not just the stuff of big business deals, but of a more pervasive form, something you can even find when out shopping. Well, I'm walking through a shopping mall close to the centre of Moscow. This wouldn't be one of the glitzy shopping centres where the rich would shop. This is where ordinary working Russians would come. But an indication of how legal the merchandise here might be would be a music shop I've just been in, where you can see CDs from artists familiar at home like Imelda May selling for just about €4. They're clearly counterfeit. And I've just been actually warned off by a Russian who told me in Russian to be careful here, that this place is run by, as he put it, bandits and mafia. Putin's prized Sochi Games have come under the corruption spotlight too, the estimated cost avalanching fivefold to over €35 billion, the most expensive Olympics ever. Irish Moscow-based Bloomberg journalist Jason Corcoran says it's widely believed corruption has taken its cut.
Well, this is probably the most egregious example of corruption in Russia that I've heard in some time. Boris Nemtsov, an opposition politician who used to be in government, has alleged that one road connecting Sochi, where the Olympics will be, with Krasnaya Poliana, which is the cluster where the skiing and the snowboarding will take place, cost $7 to $8 billion. And if you had paved it with black caviar or gold, it would have been cheaper.
Зеркальный лабиринт. Самый большой секс-шоп в Европе.
Starry Arbat Street, where Pushkin once strolled, and the sounds today of ads for something rather less cultural. But post-Soviet liberalism doesn't extend to gay or lesbian rights. Despite Moscow's thriving gay club scene, gays and lesbians feel threatened by a ban on giving information on homosexuality or lesbianism to minors. It's attracted widespread international criticism, but is supported in Russian opinion polls. Seamus Martin says that Russia has catching up to do, but mirrors conservatism in the West.
Russia is like what many Western countries were like maybe 30, 35 years ago. I think it's important to understand this. In the West, there has been a slow drip of liberalisation over decades. But Russia only emerged from the Soviet Union 20 years ago. So to try and compare Russia with the Western attitudes is a bit wrong. There's an awful lot more time needed for Russians to develop that way. And in many ways, the Russian authorities could be compared to, say, the Tea Party in the United States, who would do exactly the same thing if they got the chance.
подпадают под понятие экстремизм. Тем не менее, операторы кабельного телевидения...
Press freedom in Russia is frequently criticized, and just this week the country's main independent TV channel, TV Rain, came under severe pressure. There were fears it would be taken off air after running a poll questioning Soviet tactics in the Second World War siege of Leningrad. This weekend it's devoting a day's coverage to patriotism in response. Veteran journalist Vladimir Posner is deeply critical of press freedom in the country.
The view of the government, or the whatever you want to call it, the leadership in this country vis-a-vis the media is very cynical. What it is this. The smaller your audience, the more freedom you have. So if you have a tiny little newspaper coming out somewhere, you can write whatever you want. Nobody cares. But if you're doing network television, Channel 1 in this country, Channel 2, Channel 4, that's tightly controlled. And there is really relatively little freedom of speech.
And that was Vladimir Posner finishing that report by Dermot Fleming.
Now, with the time coming up to 2:02, the main news again. The Taoiseach and Labour Party leader Eamon Gilmore has said he believes that the decision of the European Court of Human Rights in the Louise O'Keefe case changes the view that the school patron was responsible for running certain schools and not the state. On this programme, Mr Gilmore said that the implication of the ruling is that that relationship is likely to change. He said that he supported the review of the state's relationship to school patronage initiated by the Education Minister Rory Quinn, and he added that he believed that the court judgment adds to the urgency of the matter. This week, the European Court ruled that the state was liable for abuse that Ms. O'Keefe suffered as a primary school pupil in 1973. Mr. Gilmore also said that he expected certain local authorities to be able to reduce the local property tax by up to 15% in regions where the charge and income from it is found to be high. He said Labour would be supporting this policy where appropriate when local authority budgets are drawn up at the end of next year. Mr. Gilmore pointed out that under a provision of the local property tax, local authorities are allowed to vary the charge by 15% either way.
That's our lot. Thanks to the team, John Burke, Lizzie Nolan, and on sound, Sarah May Leach. We're back at the same time next week, but from Richard Crowley and me, Cullum O'Mungine, good afternoon.